Welcome back. Well, we've been following the situation in Ukraine now for months, and it seems like there's been nothing but bad or scary news out of that country for the last while. But over the weekend, elections were held to replace the government that was toppled back in February, and Ukrainians voted in large numbers. So who did they vote for, and what kind of message does this send to Russia? Well, Lincoln Mitchell is back with us now, a consultant on politics and business in the former Soviet Union and an advisor to the Human Rights Institute at Columbia University. Lincoln, thanks for being back with us.
Thanks for having me.
So can we see this as something promising, like what happened over the weekend?
Well, it's definitely good news. I'm not sure I would see it. The question is how good news, how positive is this? It's better than what could have happened. Poroshenko is, in my view, precisely the kind of politician who might be able to bring Ukraine together. He's committed. Sorry about that. He's committed to a European future, but he's not a radical that will scare Russia too much. Now, again, the question for Russia is that do they want to accept this or not? There's a story that Russia can tell. How can you have an election when a third of the country is in turmoil, when turnout is so low in some parts of the country, that Russia can tell to delegitimize the election in the eyes of its people and its government? So we'll see what Russia decides to do, but it's generally positive news and that it went nonviolently. It's notable that Poroshenko won, but the number two candidate is also a pro-Western candidate. So of the people who voted, a consensus did seem to emerge. And I think it's safe to say there's a consensus in Ukraine that people don't want the country breaking apart.
Okay. And there were many international observers there during the election process, too, weren't there?
Yes. And, you know, anyone who's been involved with election observation knows that there's both a technical side to this and there's a political side to this. And, you know, to election observation. And the observers reported out that the election went well, which is, I think, a surprise to nobody. And I think a question to ask is, if the election hadn't gone well, what would the observers have said? So we don't know the answer to that question. But, you know, this was, by most standards, a pretty good election.
Okay. And so who is this person that won, the guy that they keep calling the Chocolate King? Who is he?
Well, the interesting thing about Poroshenko is that if 6 months ago you had said to, you know, the community of people who watch Ukraine in my country, in your country, as well as to kind of the orange factions in Ukraine, that Poroshenko will be the next president, it wouldn't have been greeted unanimously with happiness. There was real hope that someone like Tymoshenko or Klitschko, who's more identified with the kind of pro-Western factions within the country, would have won. Poroshenko is someone who has deep ties to the commercial and political establishment in Ukraine, which is comforting for a lot of people. He has served in the cabinets of both of Yanukovych as well as of the previous president, Yushchenko, so he has ties across the political spectrum. And in that regard, he's not a frightening or threatening figure to anybody, and that may be really the most positive thing about him. The challenge for him is, can he be the first president since Ukraine got independence to really build a consensus around a new Ukraine, what direction it should go, what the future should be, all of that? And that's really, we don't know yet the answer to that question.
Right. You mentioned Vitaly Klitschko there, who is now the mayor of Kiev. Why did he take a step back?
I don't know why he took a step back. Maybe he felt that it was, I mean, the best reason would be that he felt that that a candidate who could unify the country better and be less off-putting to people in the East. But we don't know that's the case.
All right, so then what do you think this says to Russia?
Well, if Russia is looking at this soberly, what they're seeing is, what Russia should see from this is that the idea that there is a divided Ukraine, the idea that there are people, that there is a substantial number of people in Ukraine who don't want to see the country stay together as one country, is wrong. This may not be a big victory for, you know, Europe or the European future of Ukraine. It is a resounding defeat for Putin and for Russia. So this is not good news for Russia. Now, how they interpret to spin or how to decide to spin or interpret that election, you know, I'm not a mind reader, and I'm certainly not a mind reader when it comes to Vladimir Putin, but it's not good news for him.
Right. And has he said very much at this point? Because I haven't heard a whole lot.
Well, about mid to late last week, he said he would accept the outcome of the election. Then he backpedaled a little bit. Interestingly, Russia Today, which is kind of the English language propaganda arm of the Kremlin, was reporting out that at some point late last night that an ultra-right-wing candidate had won, was projected as the winner, one of these kind of fascistic guys with ties to the far right in Western Ukraine, had won the election. Of course, the data showed that was completely wrong. The man was at less than 1.5% of the vote. So what Putin does next is not clear.
Right. And so what does this mean now for Peter Poroshenko, this man who is now in charge? What does his Ukraine look like?
Well, he's been pretty clear. His Ukraine is one where there is a government in Kiev and that unifies the country, and that there's one set of laws, and, you know, it is a unified country, and it is, Crimea is part of that country, and eastern Ukraine joins in. And he has, I think, given a good, if you listen to his rhetoric, it's a good combination of tough talk. We will not tolerate separatists, which the president of any country, I think, has a right to say, as well as we need to move forward together. But now comes, as a cliche, but it's true, after every election, now comes the hard work.
Okay, because now there's still some skirmishes happening, right?
Yeah, that's right. This election, you know, there is a narrative that has emerged in the West, and particularly if you look at the statements of, you know, President Obama, Secretary Kerry, former Secretary State Albright, that, you know, this election has really turned a corner. But tomorrow, you know, we're going to wake up, and there's still going to be violence in eastern Ukraine, violence in southern Ukraine. And the separatists within those communities who lost badly, they suffered a real blow here. And they are going, and their backs are up against the wall. So if they're smart, they might just say, okay, the gig's up. Let's maybe see if we can get away with this without going to jail, right?
Yeah.
But they may also say, all right, we're going to keep fighting and keep pretending we have support. And as long as Russia provides a minimum of support for that, they can keep doing that for a while, which makes the task of unifying and rebuilding Ukraine that much more difficult.
And do you think that Russia will continue to do that?
If I had to bet, I would say yes. But, you know, I would say that with 60% certainty, not 90 to 95% certainty.
I mean, this makes it more difficult for Vladimir Putin, doesn't it, when you do have such a large number of people who turned out to vote. And by all accounts, it was a straight-up election, and there was a clear message sent about what direction they would like to see Ukraine go in. Kind of goes against everything that he has been saying.
Yes. Now, the one piece of data that the Russian side could point to is to say, look, in eastern and southern Ukraine, turnout was much, much lower. Now, the reason for that, in places like Donetsk, people felt threatened. Now, some would say people felt threatened. They were told more or less that if they vote, they could get killed, right? Well, that's a pretty big disincentive for voting,
yeah,
right, by the separatists. But others might say, well, they were dissatisfied with all of the candidates because Poroshenko was going to win and they didn't like him. So that's a matter of, now, obviously, we know which way Russia will interpret that. It may not be the way I will interpret that, but it's the way Russia will interpret that. So they can still tell enough of a story to themselves and to their allies to keep this going. And remember that rebuilding after instability, restabilizing a country, if you will, is much more difficult than destabilizing a country. So for Russia, they're in some sense rolling the ball down the hill. And Poroshenko's task now is to change that on them and say, now we're a new day in Ukraine. Now you're rolling the ball up the hill.
Right, but he clearly has the support of the majority of Ukrainians to do that.
Yeah, I mean, no one's ever won an election without a runoff in Ukraine before. That's news. That's big news. So, yes, he does.
Okay, so that is big news. Okay, nobody's ever won without a runoff election before?
Now, this isn't a country with 200 years of presidential elections, of course, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a relatively new country, new independent country.
Is it possible, though, that the other higher-profile candidates did back down so that there would be a kind of a unified message sent?
Well, Klitschko absolutely backed down. Klitschko was an ally of Poroshenko. They had meetings beforehand and said, one of us will run. Who should it be? And so he was a strong and probably his most visible supporter. Tymoshenko, who was even though she was in jail during the Euro, the Maidan movement, is the most visible of the candidate. You know, she ran and she came in second with 13% of the vote, which is not terrible, but it is also a defeat for the people who want to say it's a defeat for the narrative that somehow the people in the Maidan were ultra radicals or fascistic or ultra nationalist. Now Tymoshenko is none of those things. But people have accused some of her supporters of being those things. And the fact that she lost badly, too, really speaks to the kind of power of the more centrist and moderate narrative that's emerged around Poroshenko.
Right. People clearly want to move forward without necessarily all these ties to the past.
Right. And without fighting quite so much amongst each other, which is a good sign.
That is a good sign. Well, Lincoln, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
That is Lincoln Mitchell, a consultant on politics and business in the former Soviet Union, an advisor to the Human Rights Institute at Columbia University. He has been our go-to expert on what has been happening in Ukraine. And with that presidential election over the weekend, it's such a huge turnout that they had there. And by all accounts, it was straight up. There were many international observers there checking that out. So even more interesting developments coming out of that country. Coming up next, well, this is something that has been around in people's imagination for decades. I mean, if you've watched The Jetsons, you've always wanted to have maybe a robot looking after things in your house. How close are we to that reality? You might be surprised to find out. That's next.